the song Get It Up, you know, it's funny, you see that title and immediately your mind, at least my mind, goes one place. But
you see too many Viagra commercials, right?
Oh, yeah. Shame on you, Joe.
Can you believe that Viva Viagra commercial, by the way?
You mean the band? Where they got the band? Or
they're
in the garage playing. They're singing the praise of Viagra.
Well, I can't wait to get home.
Men have lost touch with their animal instincts because women have trained us now to behave ourselves. And so, therefore, men are starting to lose some of their instincts, their natural instincts, which, you know, you go up and you smell it and you lick it, you know, and then you jump on. You know what I mean? It's like you can't be, and that's animal. We're animals, and we become so that men have to take Viagra. Man, I'm telling you, man, there's a lot better secrets than Viagra, man. Just, you know, put a mirror up and get the old lady doing some funny stuff. And man, shit, if you can't get it up, then you shouldn't be in there with her.
Yeah, then you might as well just form a band.
Bring in the troops at that stage. Sorry about all that.
No,
that's just a whole philosophy I have. Get in touch with your animal instincts, folks.
But the thing is, you see that title and you think, like, okay, it's about this, but you're definitely talking about some weightier subject matter in that song.
You know, honestly, I don't even know quite what I'm saying in this one. This is one where it's not my favorite lyric on the record, but it's got good vibey stuff. I just am a positive guy, and I told Joe the second, here we go again, I heard when he played, da, 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 I just saw people, 100,000 people in the festival jumping up and down, and I'm yelling, get it up, you fuckers, you know, making the people, come on, get positive, get up, you know, take care of it, do it, you know, don't, it's like the right now consciousness, don't do it now, right. Let's go, get it up, don't be, and then the verses are about being depressed. You know, get the fuck, and then just yell, get it up, arriba, you know, jump, come on, you know, get it on. And I could see it really being a strong festival kind of song. But lyric, I don't know really what I'm saying other than, come on, you know, don't fucking waller in the mud, you know, get it up.
Let me last ask about the song Learning to Fall, which we just heard today, several mixes of. Joe, you were telling me that this song has had quite a journey.
Ooh. Yeah, it started out, for some reason, what Sam called... And actually, you and Neil dropped by the studio, and you guys came over with a case of tequila, and you're like, come on, Joe, let's go. And I'm thinking, I'll make it right. You know, but I was excited, and I was thinking, where do you start? You know, because Neil is a powerhouse, great writer, amazing player, played with him a million times. And I'm thinking, I know where they've been going, but what's the one thing that I guess I haven't experienced Sam doing? You know, when I've been to a concert, you know. And for some reason I thought, I wonder if he's ever just played, you know, walked out with an acoustic guitar and looked at one person and sang something, you know, like he was talking to somebody. It wasn't registering in my head. So I wrote this song, and I think it was called Open Your Heart to Love or something like that. It was kind of clumsy, but it was just another one of those things. I was just trying to crystallize a feeling. But it was pretty much the verses and the choruses. And I don't think at the time there was that bridge yet. I think that came after I showed it to you. So years later...
It's come so many different...
Yeah. So then years later we meet up and I play it to him and to see if he'd be into something like that. And he went off on his tangent and started going. And so I was waiting to find out where he wanted to go with it and then see if I could write a bridge around it.
Right.
And then see what would we do for a solo. I wasn't sure for that either. So then we get that thing going... And then we had great moments as a band just playing it, even though it was troubled. It was like a song that had all this promise. We all knew it was beautiful, but we were troubled with the fact that, well, what's Sam really going to sing? What does he really want to sing about? And then I know from a guitar point of view, I thought, I don't want this to be a power ballad. And, so I was afraid of certain avenues that were so easy to...
You were worried about it being too pretty.
Too 80s, too heavy, 80s power
too pretty,
ballad.
There were so many ways to do it. And then I overwhelmed these guys with all the possibilities.
That's true. There was a Pink Floyd version, early Peter Gabriel version. There was a Nickel Creek kind of version. and then there was a Journey Styx, REO version. And it was so weird. And then we kind of settled on... Well, let's do like an R&B and Otis Redding version, try a little tenderness kind of vibe or something. I even tried, saying, let's put that one organ note in there. And in the end, we just kind of went back to how the song really felt right. It just says, how does, okay, let's just play fuck this 80s, fuck 90s, fuck soul, rock, blues, sing anything.
But that was one of the songs also when we recorded the original demo.
It should be played.
We recorded the original demo. It had such a feeling to it.
Right.
Such a vibe that we would always, you know, no matter what, you know, Joe would introduce us at or play us, you know, these different ways he was thinking about it. We'd go back and we'd listen to that original demo again.
Yeah, of us just playing it live in the studio and stuff.
Well, yeah. We're
hey, Joe wrote five songs under that song, man. I mean, we could go back, and honestly, I think that the one that had the funk, the mandolin and banjo and all that shit in, and it had all this electro Peter Gabriel kind of stuff going on. Honest to God, if you heard that without the singing, you would never even think it was the same song. We could take that song that he did, and we could go in and I'd write a whole new melody and lyric, and it would be a whole brand new song, right?
Yeah.
If we want.
Yeah.
Let me ask one final question. Does it feel strange in a way to form this band when you're not in your 20s? Do you feel like you know, everything you've been doing, as you said, has led up to this?
I think it feels so right. I mean, I admit, if it wasn't for this band, I would probably be, you know, not retiring, but I mean, I'd be slowing way down. You know, I mean, I have no reason, nothing to prove. I'm not looking for fame or fortune anymore. You know, it's like not my motivation. But all of a sudden, I want all that again in this band. You know, I want all that feeling of having a great band and being on top of the world. And I think we can do it. I mean, I don't think age got nothing to do with it. You know, you don't even look at us like the Stones or any of the bands that are out there for it, because those are bands that have been together all their years.
Right,
so they're kind of like, you know, just playing mostly old material. They don't write that many new things. We're like a brand new band. It's just that we happen to be older. Yeah. But honestly, God, it's like Clint Eastwood in his new movie. I feel this band's everything. I feel like him in this movie. I feel like, okay, all those Dirty Harry moves where he said, you know, you're going to, you know, all those one-liners he used, they were all just rehearsals for, you know, Gran Torino, where he brought him home like a mutt. When he got one of them kids down on the ground and said, "You punk!" I'm going, "Whoa, man, Clint means this shit now." You know what I mean? That's the way I feel about the way I'm singing. I think I mean it now.
Yeah.
I was trying to be a rock star my whole life. I was trying to write hit records, and I was trying to be the greatest band in the world. I was trying to do everything that I think I'm doing now. I'm doing it now. It's different. It's really, like I said, it's all kind of been rehearsal. And I'm not dogging no band I've ever been in. Montrose, one of the greatest bands of its time. Van Halen, certainly one of the greatest bands of its time. And I love some of my soul stuff. But this is so much more important to me than all that, I got to tell you.
Yeah, we're doing this for the love of doing it. For the love of, you know, friends.
Whole different
playing. We have nothing to prove. I mean,
so maybe we shouldn't put our picture on the album, huh? And people say, "Well, look at these young guys up there with a black singer."
is there going to be a title for the album or
Chickenfoot?
Okay,
so, saving the best for last.
Thank you guys very much for spending some time with me. It's been a pleasure,
Joe. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You know that,
Jojo. Thanks for spending as much time with us.
Well. Yeah. Thank you. This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers. I've been here with 3/4 of Chickenfoot, and thanks again, guys.